Welcome to Starting Artists. I'm Tony Sadowski. I've been doing these monologue-style shows to break up the interview episodes. And I'll be honest, as I always am with you, dear listener, to paraphrase Marge Simpson, why would a podcaster lie to a person? The purpose of this style of show was to stretch out the interviews, so I wouldn't have to record as many as quickly, and so I could buy a little time between these episodes for recording and editing. I'm a few episodes ahead now, so it's nice to have a bit of breathing room and not feel pressured to constantly be digging up new guests and hustling to put shows together. I never wanted this project to be stressful. After all, it's my show. While I know that regular releases are important, I can call it the end of season one anytime I want. Take a breather. It's really important to let the show evolve, too. If I think I need some time to make a change or put some energy into another project for a bit, I have to give myself the space to do that. I want this to stay fun. If I'm enjoying it, the show will be better for you. Anyway, these monologue episodes also give me a chance to talk about a topic that came up over the course of the last interview and reveal a bit more of my personality and give some insights from my many years in broadcast, TV, and radio production. One of the reasons I left my job and started Spec Communications was that the experience was getting so unpleasant. I was beginning to doubt my own abilities and question whether or not I even wanted to continue producing things. Some things I did still love were audio editing and voiceover. And here we are. Anyway, I'm not the kind of guy to write an advice book or anything like that. I'm sure I have something useful to impart. My interns always seemed to like me. And I liked all of them, except for that one kid. Ugh, piece of work. Anyway, when I'm feeling confident, my work is better. Probably pretty normal. But it's true. I'm more creative. I take more interesting risks. I'm generally more pleasant to be around. And as I got older, the colleagues around me got younger. And they looked up to me. They swear I taught them something, though I can't tell you what it was. You'd have to ask them. Maybe I should have my interns on for an episode. That would be a fun one. Anyway, one thing I know I did to my interns was tell them long, rambling stories. It helped kill time driving to shoot locations, and I really just can't help it. I was confident in what I did and liked talking shop, so I would get going from time to time. While I had a reputation for being creative and funny and maybe a little full of myself when I was younger, college, my first job, and probably for a good while at my last job until I was there long enough to feel like part of the furniture, though I've definitely matured into a fine curmudgeon over the years, who is a much better listener than I was back then. There's one story from my college days that ties into screenwriting. If you listened to the last episode, you met Izzy Searle, a freelance writer with a dream of bringing a series about her great-granddad Rex to a TV screen near you. And I'm rooting for her. I grew up wanting to write for television, comedy specifically. I didn't know what form that would take or exactly how I'd get there, but it was always the vague direction I was headed. Anyway, I submitted a screenplay I'd written in college to a competition where awards were given out at a conference attended by our chapter of the National Broadcasting Society. It was the first year our college had had an NBS group, and somehow, I ended up president. Probably because I was pretty fun and a little cocky and good at getting people to play along with things. The group needed members, so me being relatively outgoing was a plus. You know, I think I can turn it on. I really am kind of to myself, not particularly energized by other people. But I do like attention, and I like entertaining an audience. Whether it's an intern trapped with me in a station van, or an audience where I'm the host or a speaker, or people who watch or listen to things I make, I like reaction. And I've always liked saying the thing that nobody seems to be saying that needs to be said. Anyway, the screenplay was called If Only You Knew, and it was basically a story about getting together with the classmate who I would later marry.
The mist of the morning in their strange town lifted slowly with the sun.
The title was a reference to a Moxie Fruvis song, And there was kind of a daydream montage at the end where a bit of that song would be playing.
And it crowded against my windowsill, still sweet with the morning dew. If only you knew how much I think of you.
I don't remember much about it. It was probably cheesy and terrible, but good enough to win the screenwriting category at that award ceremony. There had been obnoxiously cocky kids from other colleges who accepted awards with long-winded acceptance speeches like it was the Oscars or something, peppered with junk like, "Remember that name, he's gonna be a huge star!" Bleh. I hate that kind of arrogant thing. I'm sure I've crossed a line over the years, but often if I'm bragging, it's done in a joking way. I want it to be obvious I'm not that guy. Who would ever want to root for that guy? Who would follow them anywhere other than gross sycophants? Not my scene. I do try to be genuine. Anyway, it was naturally expected that I would get up and say something after my name was announced as the best screenplay winner. I casually made my way to the podium, took a breath, looked up at the audience, many of whom were just as annoyed as I was by the "Remember that name, guys," and I delivered a clear and pointed "thank you" into the mic, before taking my certificate and walking right back to my table to the laughter and applause of the people in the room who needed someone to needle the jerky kids. It was clear that I was flipping them off. Rhetorically. Anyway, that's a story about how one time I said very little, because it was exactly what needed to be said. Next time on Starting Artists, you're going to hear an interview I recorded a while back with Kim Belair, co-founder and CEO of Sweet Baby Inc., a black and queer-owned video game narrative development company based in Montreal, working in both indie and AAA spaces around the world. We talk about her rocky road getting started working at big-name companies in a famously toxic industry, and the experiences that led to the very cool and important work she and the team at Sweet Baby are doing today. It was a conversation that stuck with me. Even if you're not into video games, it's a good one. Trust me. Why would a podcaster lie to a person?